if you weren't able to make the parish's celebration on Thursday evening, you missed a very beautiful Mass and also a wonderful party afterwards. But we do have some programs from the Mass. If you want to take one home as a souvenir, the Mass programs and some holy cards are there for you at the church doors. Also be reminded that we do have confessions again on Thursday evening from 6 until 7:15. So after the 5:30 Mass until 7:15, Advent confessions will be here Thursday, Queen of All Saints. A cynic could hear the words of Psalm 146 and say, "That's not true. God doesn't seem to pay any attention. It seems like oppressed people still have no justice. Lots of people still go hungry. There are nations that are held under captivity by their governments, or people being held captive in various ways. You still have people who are blind and crippled. There is no justice. People can be cruel to one another. With all of this, there is no God. Where is He?" And it can seem like that sometimes. So no, it may seem as though nothing has changed in many ways. Or maybe it has in some way. Has the world changed in some way since Jesus of Nazareth? It has. Consider this. Even if there is no God, even if the person of Jesus never existed, even if religion is just a sham and a bunch of nonsense, even if the church is nothing but a money-making racket that's being run by gay pedophiles, as a lot of people claim, and whether or not Jesus will ever come again at some time, none of this matters to a degree. Even a non-believer or a pagan can practice some virtue and do some good, but they can't do it with sanctifying grace, something that transforms them, essentially. But the fact is that the world is indeed different, because someone, at a given point in history, particularly Jesus Christ, made a very bold declaration that God is love. That God is love. And not only that, but God being love is also our Father, as Jesus taught us to call Him, our Father who art in heaven. And that just as the Father has loved us, we must love Him, and if we love Him, then we must be like Him and love one another. And that has been humanity's game changer. Even the first people to have a revelation from God, the Jewish people, understood something of God being a Father and something of God loving them, but they believed that God loved only them, and that as such they should only love each other as Jews. As they would say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus is going to expand the meaning of love thy neighbor when He says to love every human being, to pray for those who persecute you, do good to those who hate you. He goes far beyond anything that the Jewish law prescribed, because He Himself knew the heart of the Father, being God Himself. Jesus teaches us that we must love the poor, that we must love the sick. We must love the widow. We must love the orphan. We must love children. We must love the elderly. We must love the migrant and the refugee. We must learn to love the born and the unborn. We must love the sinner and love the saint. We must love one another as much, or better yet, even more so than we love ourselves, giving up even our very lives for those that we love. As Jesus says, greater love than this no one has than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus shows us how to do that, as He died for us. While we were still sinners, as St. Paul said, Christ offered to die to bring us salvation. In Christ we see that. To love means to care for the other's well-being. Not just their physical needs, but their moral and spiritual needs as well. So we're here to care for one another morally, mentally, physically, spiritually, to desire nothing but good for the other person, to always help others to be and to do what is truly good. Consider that love and good go together, because God is both love, and God certainly is good, the supreme goodness and perfect love. And God has, in His wisdom, made you and me like Himself in His own image. As Christians, we believe that it was Jesus of Nazareth who not only taught us by his word, but as I mentioned, he showed us by his example up to the point of giving his life for our salvation. But even before then, doing all these different things, feeding the hungry, curing the sick, even raising the dead. Christ did this. Jesus came, the eternal Son of God the Father, the Word of the Father, became flesh by the Holy Spirit's power, and came into our world to show us what God wishes you and me to be like. He gave us a real and physical example to follow. So as Catholics, it would make no sense for us to love the saints if they did not love Christ, nor for us to follow the example of the saints if they did not follow the example of Jesus. But they did, and so must we. So if the poor are not assisted, if the sick are not cared for, if human suffering is not alleviated, if medicine is not advanced to bring about cures, if widows and orphans are left helpless, if the elderly are neglected, abandoned, and abused, if sincere migrants who come for better lives for their families and wish to contribute to the society in which they come are not given welcome and help to settle and assimilate, if infants are simply cast away in garbage cans, if the unborn are murdered in the wombs of their mothers, if sinners are not called to repentance and given forgiveness and encouragement, then that's our fault. That's our fault as Christians. We've been given the command by Christ to do exactly what I said, to reverse the ills of society and to do so by love. We are called to be saints. And because we are not saints ourselves, saints who love Christ, saints who love Christ and do as he did, then the world does not change. The world does not change because we do not change. And because we don't change, we don't take any action. And because we take action, we don't care. And we don't care quite simply because we don't love. We do not love God as he should be loved, nor do we love one another. But where there is faith, there is hope. And where there is hope, there is true love. And where there is love, there is action. We all know that the saints prayed and prayed incessantly. And they asked for inspiration and guidance. The saints also opened up their eyes and they saw a need in the world and they responded to it. They called out injustices. They served the needs of those who were in need. They saw the dignity of every human person and they worked to defend human life and human dignity and did this out of love for Christ and love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. John the Baptist, one of those saints that we should emulate, never had the opportunity to do what we can do. In fact, Jesus even says about John the Baptist, of all those born of woman, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Yet Jesus says, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is less than he is. Or greater than he is. The least in the kingdom is greater than he. How could he say that? It's because John never had the opportunity to be baptized as we're baptized. Yes, he gave his life for the gospel, but never received the sacrament of baptism. He never received Christ's body and blood of the Eucharist. He never received the sanctifying graces throughout his life that you and I have access to each and every day. Yes, he pointed the way to Christ. He prepared many souls to receive Christ at his first appearance, and as I said, he ultimately gave his life for it. But he was never part of the body of Christ, as you and I are through baptism. He was never changed and transformed by grace as you and I can be transformed and changed by grace. Remember that while Christ is our head, we are his body. We are Christ in the world. We are his presence here and now. You and I, summoned by Jesus to be the light of the world, summoning the rest of the world to have faith in Christ. And we do this by our love for him and our love for one another and our love for the world. If there is to be any joy, if there is to be any peace, if there's to be any prosperity, any goodness in the world, it ultimately comes from God, but it comes from God through you and me. It comes through us. And you and I must never, ever hinder the grace of God at work in us and through us by our sinfulness. Sin has got to be removed, that God's grace can be brought forth, and we become transformed, and the world becomes changed through us. Now, just as this rose candle and the Advent wreath and these rose vestments symbolize joy, then let your faith, let your life, your love, let all this bring hope and bring joy to others. Be different. Or as Jesus would say, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be different and make a difference. And don't mind what the world says about us. If Jesus says, you know, no one should be scandalized by him. Blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. But we are here to represent and to bring the presence of Christ. We should do that. That's what Christ has called us for. To be different and to make a difference in the lives of those around us, our community, our nation, even our world. Rejoice, St. Paul says. And Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Christ, and that same Spirit has been given to all of us. We can rejoice because the Spirit of the Lord is indeed upon us. He has anointed us to bring his joy to the poor, to bring his mercy to the lost, to bring light to the blind, to restore life to those who are paralyzed by sin, by grief, by fear. My brothers and sisters, we are his presence. We are his presence. We are about his work. We are his presence. We are his handiwork until his return in glory. May Christ give us that joy and give us his peace to do his will always and to be a light to the nations.